Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yo.
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hey, this is Mike Warren.
All right.
What's going on? What's going on? Hold on a second. I have my theme song. My theme music was coming on, man.
Okay.
Cool Soon After American Lit Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Spotlight Friday night. Your host is DJ Gatsby, a.k.a. Mr. Going to Sexy, also known as the Book Critic. We got Mike Warren and my man K.D. McGregor in the building. Brothers, how y'all doing?
I'm all right.
Doing good, man. How are you?
All right.
We're good, man. It's kind of hot down here for a lot of Dell by 85, 86 degrees a day. You know, I was keeping cool, though, you know. Chilling by the pool, cold beer. You know, I was keeping cool. But anyway, man, big shout out to all the listeners out there. It's your host, DJ Gasser. We back with the award-winning, critically acclaimed Blog Talk Radio Show, Who's Who in African American Lit. Thanks to everybody who's been patiently waiting for me to come back with the show. You know, we on Wednesday nights at 6:30 and also Friday nights at 6:30. We got my man Mike Warren in the building. He's the author of the fantastic book, The Cool in You, Part 3. And we also have author K.D. McGregor with this book, Backs Against the Wall. Now, which one of you brothers called in first? Who called in from the 347 area code?
That's me. Called in
and
first.
You are?
K.D. McGregor.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Katie McGregor to the show. Yo, Katie, thanks a lot for being part of the show. Yo, Mike, we're going to bring you in as soon as we finish this interview with Katie. If you have some questions for him or me doing the call, please feel free to chime right in, all right?
All right, cool.
All right. As I said, Katie McGregor, welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thanks for, you know, for being part of the show today. You know, I got introduced to you from a mutual friend of ours, Curtis Hamilton, from New York. And I want a big shout out to Curtis. I don't know if he's listening in tonight, but if you are, brother, thanks a lot, man, for introducing me to KD. KD, man, before we get started, just tell people a little bit about who you are and where you're from, man.
You know, I'm KD. I'm from Harlem, New York. You know, I was born and raised there. You know, I just got into literary writing, you know, in the last 4 to 5 years. I'm just trying to educate, trying to bring back reading, make it more fundamental, because we, like, somehow, somewhere, through all these electronic gadgets, we lost our way with just reading a straight book, just reading, you know. So I'm trying to bring it back and trying to get to the kids, too, to the youth, you know, and get them back into the life of reading, because they've been lost along the way. I can speak for myself. My sons, they don't even read like that. If they're in a school assignment, they really ain't reading a book. Like, they'll play the video game or messages, Twitter or internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm trying to bring back awareness toward the literary field in that light.
Yeah.
Whether it's through my writing and through whatever I can do besides that.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. You're off to a great start with Backs Against the Wall. Yeah, and you will have an opportunity to reach out to brothers and sisters to encourage literacy and to encourage them to read more specifically with your book. Before we start talking about the book, let's talk a little bit about how you became to be a writer. I read your bio, read about some of the things you went through as a young man, some of the pitfalls that brothers, you know, will fall into, you know, as they becoming a man and finding themselves in the world. Tell us a bit about that, man, and how you came through all those struggles.
Yeah, you know, basically, like I said, you know, experience being the best teacher, some of the things you can learn from, like, through experience, but I'm here to try to educate people of some of the things, so they don't have to go through it that I went through. Like I said, I was raised in a pretty stable environment. You know, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness religiously, and somehow through the course of way of life, I lost my way, and I wound up in a group home for several months, about 7 months, and followed by that, I started hitting the streets. You know, just lost my way, basically. And basically, after losing my way in the streets, I wound up in jail. And actually, it was like, you know, it was a bad experience, but it was a learning experience that got me into writing. You know, being incarcerated, being secluded, it got me into wanting to write, you know. And so it was like the gift and the curse at the same time. It was a bad learning experience that turned out to be good at the end. So, you know, I want people to actually potentially get that experience without having to go through that experience to feel the love for it now, without having to go through being isolated. So, you know, that's where I'm at with it now, trying to get the awareness without having to go through the pitfall, but bring the awareness there before you get to that crossroad.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's the type of thing that happens a lot in the inner cities, you know, with brothers, you know, turn into, you know, crime or drug dealing or worse in order to try to make it, you know, in order to try to survive in the streets. But I'm glad you survived, you know, that period of incarceration and came on or came out, you know, to do something that you really had a love for, which
right.
I'm assuming is writing. Now,
right.
When you were incarcerated, what did you read, or were you reading, or were you writing, or were you preparing yourself for a life as an author during that time?
Right. Well, in the beginning of it, I just was reading every book that wasn't like nailed to the floor, honestly, because at the time when I went in 2003, urban writing was the thing. Like, all these new books was out. I mean, they had so many people, good writers. Calm, they had to Be More Careful. They had all these good writers, Eric Jerome Dickey. They had all these good writers at the time, and it was like an influx of good writing at that time. And I wanted to read everything. I mean, my kid's mom used to bring, like, every book that was, like, every urban book that was out. So after about 3 or 4 years of reading it, I grew a passion to it. And then I said, you know what? Like, you know, I have a lot to talk about. Developed that into a craft, and I put it out there.
All right, man. Yeah, I was going to ask you that because a lot of brothers I know when they're incarcerated in due time, a lot of them go back to school, a lot of them read or take other, you know, they get interest in other things that they can follow up on when they come home. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once again, it's Who Threw an African American Literature Block Talk Radio Show. It's Spotlight Friday night with your host, DJ Gasson. We're talking to K.D. McGregor, author Backs Against the Wall. Now, we have a call on the line. Let me see if this is somebody for you or somebody for Mike. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, caller, you're calling for the 917. What's your name? You're calling from 917 area code. You're calling to speak to K.D. McGregor or Mike Warren? You know, we're not going to worry about that, okay? There's probably somebody just calling in to listen, but that's all right. That's
okay.
All right. You know, if they want to chime in, I'll check with them later. All right, so now you grow up, you know, a religious childhood, I'm going to say.
Right.
You turn to the tree, you do the crime, you do the time, come home, and, you know, before you come home, man, I read in the bio that, you know, you were tried and were facing 25 years to life.
Yes, that's a fact.
You were accused of a crime, you were facing 25 years to life. You beat, you were exonerated, and now you're on, I guess you're free now to pursue your passion. Now, did your book come out after that whole experience, after that whole situation? Is that when you wrote your book?
No, I actually wrote the book when I was in on the state bid, the state time.
Okay.
And this was when I came out, and after I beat the trial of facing the 25 of life, and I was incarcerated again for 27 more months. That's when I came out. I decided to take my time and put my energy into myself, as far as developing my craft or what I need to do for myself. So during that time, after I got over that deal, that's when I decided to start the writing and start my publishing company.
Yeah, and that publishing company is Fever Publishing. What does that F-E-V-E-R stand for? Is it an acronym for something?
Yes, it is an acronym for something. It stands for Finally Educated Veracities of Everyday Reality. And, you know, I just felt that that's the appropriate acronym for what it is. I mean, FIBA being a street name of mine from when I was in the street, but it also means that what I just said. Everyday reality is the biggest thing. Like, we live everyday reality. This is a reality. Sometimes if it's crime, if it's religion, if it's you have to live the reality that's you. And that's why I felt that it's an appropriate acronym for that, for my name and the publishing company, actually.
All right. So a very powerful name, man. I'm glad you shared the meaning with us. I wanted to make sure I asked you that during the interview.
Right.
So now in May of 2014, you're off parole, you start your publishing company, you decide to self-publish Backs Against the Wall. How did Backs Against the Wall come about? And tell the listeners a little bit about that book. You know, we don't want to give away the story and the plot, but tell us a little bit about Backs Against the Wall, man, and what you want people to get from that story when they read it.
Right. Like I said, I wrote the book. It's a fictional book, but I wrote the book. I was just sitting in a space. I really, really could say it was inspired, like, from God, because it came out of nowhere, honestly. I swear to you, it came out of nowhere. I'm not from Brooklyn. I'm from Harlem. You know, and actually a cellmate of mine was from Brooklyn, and he was actually giving me the street names and the projects and stuff. He was giving me all the information as far as the location and scenery. I developed a story loosely based upon, not myself, but my mother has three kids, three boys. So, you know, I went along that line of it's three brothers. And a lot of it was spin off my life as far as they were good kids that was tightly knitted family, and through a tragedy of their father's death, their life went out of control into a downward spiral. Like, just through one tragic death for their father, it became a spiraling event. But they was a good family, a close-knit family. Through that one tragic event, their life kind of spent out of control, the three brothers. They was able to rebound, but at the end of the day, life do throw you those curveballs where you sometimes have to bounce back. Some people don't bounce back, but it's like a feel-good story. It's one of them feel-good stories. Like, you'll see the tragedy in the story, but it's a feel-good story then. So, you know, you can really appreciate it.
Yeah. I read the book, and I did like the way the story flowed. It was kind of a triumph of a tragedy with what these young brothers went through. And I think it's a very, very interesting book. You know, I gave you 5 stars on Amazon in the DJ Gassy Book Club review. And congratulations on the book, man. Again, everybody, it's DJ Gatsby, who's on African American Lit Block Talk Radio Show. We got my man KD McGregor from Harlem on the line. We're talking to him about his latest book, Backs Against the Wall. All right, so we're almost finished, man. We're gonna bring Mike on the line. Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Mike is on. Mike, you got a question or comment for KD before he goes, man?
Well, I had one question, and that was, you know, and I asked all authors this question, being one myself, and that is, how do they market their book? Katie, how are you marketing your book?
Well, right now, you know, the biggest market that you try to put it on is social media. You know, that's like the wave of the future, whether you like it or not. That's everybody, I don't care who it is, you're on social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You try to go through LinkedIn, these other sites. Any social media site is a major way to get it out to the people you never would ever know no other way. I'm getting hit up from people from England. I would never know these people no other way. I have never been to England. But through social media, I'm over there. So that's the best way I can say. Try social media as the best way. Of course, your local roots is also a good way. And, of course, word of mouth. But I think the internet is the best way to get yourself out there to people that will never ever meet you, but can feel you from many miles away, and you can get that effect.
Can I also give you a suggestion?
Please.
When I first started, like 10 years ago, I had a publishing company who published my first 4 books. And, you know, they were a complete ripoff. However, I did learn a couple of things. And the major thing that I learned, other than marketing your book on social media, which you should, also get yourself some bookmarks. Make up some bookmarks. Go to the library. Go to the bookstores and all the places where they sell books and put your bookmark in other people's books.
Oh, that's very interesting. That's very cool.
That's how you get it out there, because first of all, you are trying to get the target audience that buy books. Yeah,
right.
Social media is there. You know, and I use that as well. Believe
me.
But another form, as I said, is, you know, bookmarks are very powerful. You know, get yourself some bookmarks of your book. And like I said, take it to the libraries, take it to the bookstores. You know, those, depending upon what kind of book you write, you know, your genre, you know, put your bookmarks in that section, in that genre, so people who read your kind of books, you know, can see that. Now, there's nothing illegal about it. You're giving away a free bookmark.
Right. Exactly.
So get yourself some 2x4 bookmarks. Place them in other people's books. I've put my bookmarks in everybody's book. You know, I mean, you know, that's I'm getting a target audience to buy books. Okay,
right.
So once they buy that book and take it home and they open it up and they see my bookmark, they don't know whether or not I'm in conjunction with that other writer or not. But, you know, they're going to check it out.
Isn't it
like a guerrilla? Isn't it like a guerrilla marketing tactic, though?
Well, call it what you want. You know, it works. It works for me. Fortunately, I've already got my name out there. So fortunately, I have a fan base and people know who I am.
Right.
But what I'm saying, when I first started out.
I do it
every now and then. You know, if I'm on the bus or train or whatever the case may be, I'll put down a bookmark. I'll leave it wherever. Now, they may throw it away, but I'll leave it wherever, you know, just because I'm there. And I'm constantly marketing some kind of way.
Where are you from? You said
be more careful. I'm from Bmore, bruh.
Okay.
Hold up, Mike. I really need to get you on to do your interview. Once again, Soul Soul African American Lit, Block Talk Radio Show, DJ Gatsby, Katie McGregor, and Mike Ryan. Katie, don't go nowhere. We'll bring you back on before we close out the show so you can tell people how to follow you on social media, possibly where they can get your book from or even meet you at a book signing, book event, or something of that nature. All right, so Mike.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Mike Warren from Baltimore in the building. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just chilling. I'm just, you know, writing and making money. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mike Warren from Baltimore, Maryland. He's been writing for quite a while. Educated and talented brother. You got a master's degree in communications. You're an author with life-changing books. Currently, you're a self-published author doing all types of things, man. Welcome to the show, Mike. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, man. You know, we've done this before, so I appreciate the follow-up to the Cooling You Three.
Yeah, when you came on before, I was working with you. I do some promotions. I'm working with you with the Cool In You, the first book in this trilogy.
Right, part one.
And part one. And now, you know, we touch base again, and you got the Cool In You part three. I didn't get a chance to read that book yet. You know I'm going to read that, man. You know I got to review your work like I always do, and I'm looking forward to doing that. But, you know, man, what's been happening, man, since, you know, in the last couple of years, since you've been on the show, what's been going on?
Writing, you know, that's that's my full-time job, you know, so I've been lucky and blessed enough to live off of my book sales. That's what I do. I just write, you know. I'm fortunate that I had a publisher at the very beginning because they were able to get my name out there. But after 4 years of dealing with them, I had to start doing it myself because, you know, with publishing companies, you got to be very careful, you know, because they'll publish a book and they'll put money into it. And if the book sells for $10 or $15, you know, you may only see $1.05 off of each book sold, you know. And so, you know, I got tired of that. I was like, oh, no. You know, what you can do, I can do myself. So.
Absolutely. And you're doing a very, very good job, man. You said your first four books were with LCB, and you've published at least six or more books since then.
Just for correction, it's been 16 books since then.
Oh, 16 books. I thought you said 10. It's been 16. Wow. Okay, that means I got to do my homework and be a little more prepared for you. I had no idea you released that many books, and you've done, because you've reached two since the last time we spoke, obviously more than that. When I went on Amazon, you know, looking up the books that you've done, you dropped quite a few books. How many books are you averaging a year? I heard you mention that you've been writing for 10 years.
Yes.
And you have 16 books.
You know, the first 4 years, you know, because I had another publisher, you know, they had other writers. So sometimes I would have to wait a year or 2 years, you know, for them to do my book next, you know. And that's another thing I got tired of, you know, because I would have already been finished a book and I'm waiting for them to publish it, but they wouldn't do it because they have 10 or 15 other writers, you know, that they have to get to. You know, so I got tired of all that, you know. So basically for the past 6 years, I've been doing it myself. And the only good thing I can say about having a publishing company at the beginning is, as I said, they helped get my name out there for people to know who I am. But aside from that, I'm doing it myself. So for the past 6 years, I would say that I've been averaging 3 books a year.
Wow, that's a lot of work, man. Yeah, that was a number I wanted. You know, with a writer like yourself, I can see how you do that. You're a very talented writer. You're very passionate about writing. And, again, if this is how you make your living, and a lot of writers out here do that, you know, you have to put in the work. You have to publish the books because that's where that next paycheck is coming. And I see that, man. And I want to commend you on that tenacity or that, you know, that just ambition to just keep writing and keep writing. I see a lot of writers don't have that passion. They'll write a book and then they'll wait a year, they'll wait 2 years, and they just don't have that, you know, that drive.
Well, you know, but the thing is that I really can't say that. I really can't say that. I think a lot has to do with the fact that they have the passion. The problem is that, you know, a lot of times they don't have the time because, you know, they got full-time jobs, you know, they got full-time jobs as well as they have a life. And so therefore, you know, if you have a full-time job and or you're a student in school or, you know, you got kids to deal with once you get out of work or from school or whatever, you know, you may basically have the weekends to write and not even then sometimes because you have to spend that time with your family. I've been fortunate only because this is what I do for a living. So this is my job. So that's why I'm able to write as much as I do. Now, yeah, I do have a passion for it. Don't get me wrong. But I also want to be paid for it as well.
Okay. All right.
Now, some people get on me about that. You know, they're like, oh, well, you ought to do it for the joy. You know, you ought to do it for the passion. You ought to do it, you know, just so people can read your book. Hey,
when you go to work, don't you
expect to get paid?
Yeah, you're a producer, man. You got bills just like everybody else, man. I get that.
Exactly. I got bills. So when you go to work, do you tell your employer, oh, you ain't got to pay me today. I'm doing this because I enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, we want to get into the book Cool in You 3. Now, for those who have not read the series or not familiar with the trilogy, tell us a little bit about the Cool in You and why it's such a significant book. When I read that book, you know, I noticed a couple of things about it. They were a little different than the books I've been reading before. And People were asking me, you know, why that book, why that author? Well, see, I'm an equal opportunity book club, book reader, and fan and reviewer. So I deal with the books and the authors that come my way. And I'm glad that I got my hands on your book when I did. Because authors like you writing books the way you do are very, very relevant and have a very, very important message to the readers that you appeal to. So with that being said, tell us a little bit about that series, The Cool in You, and why you feel it's been so successful.
Well, I guess the first thing I should say is that I am a gay black author.
Okay.
And being a black gay author, a lot of the books that we read in our genre, you know, are either put out by Elin Harris or James Earl Hardy. You know, they were the godfathers of black gay literature. You know, there was nobody else out there. You know, and as the years progressed, you know, reading those books, even though I was a black gay man, I couldn't see myself in those books. You know, they were enjoyable, but I couldn't
yeah.
see me. You know, so, you know,
okay.
once I started writing gay books, as it were, my story as far as how I got into this gay lifestyle, I guess, which was brought about in my first book called A Private Affair. And it just kind of spun from that point on. Now, with that being said, all of the books that I've read, mine including others that have come along, a lot of the gay books are from the standpoint of these brothers who are in their teens, in their 20s, or in their 30s. Now, I'm in my 50s, okay? So
mm-hmm.
I want to read about brothers who are my age. I want to read about gay brothers who are my age and what we're doing and what experiences we have, because, you know, in a lot of cases, they're totally different from these young bucks. You know what I mean? So
okay.
The characters
in The Cool in You, very powerful characters, very compelling story, man. What has been, you know, the response to your readers for that particular series?
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, the older gay brothers really enjoy it. You know, they love James, you know, who is the lead character. And a lot of them see themselves in that particular character. Now, I have a couple of characters who are in their 30s, you know, but again, the main characters are in their 50s, and they've been enjoying it. That's why, you know, I've gotten up to a part 3. You know, people are still looking for a part 4. Now, I think the reason why it's been successful is because not only do older brothers want to read about characters their age, but you also have the younger generation who can learn something about being or getting older as a black gay man. You know, this is what
Absolutely.
You got to look forward to. You know,
Absolutely.
Now all hope is not lost. You know, we still feel, we still want to love, we still want companionship, we still want to have fun. You know, and I kind of felt as though society had just kind of tossed us to a side because we would no longer attractive. We were no longer anything anybody wanted, other than the fact that, you know, if we were going to play the role of somebody's sugar daddy. No. It's not about that. There are some older brothers out here that's still fine, and I'm one of them.
Okay. Well, listen, Mike, man, I hate to cut you off. You know, the show is only 30 minutes. Again, it's a pleasure having you on the show, man. I want you to come back on. KD, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So I'm going to get you back on in a second. All right, Mike, man, where can people follow you on social media? You mentioned that you do promote on social media. Before you go, man, give us a last word and tell people where they can follow you and where they can get your books.
Well, I'm on social media as well, you know, on Facebook,
you know, just hitting Mike Warren 986. I mean, I'm on Twitter and all of those, but I will admit I'm not very good when it comes to Twitter and Instagram. You know, I'm not like the younger generation who could just, you know, work all those gadgets. That's why I try to get people such as yourself who
okay.
know more about that can help promote my books on that other media part. But, you know, on Facebook, as well as on Amazon, you can go and search my name, Mike Warren. You know, my books are on there. You can even go into the bookstores, and some of my books will be there, but those that aren't there, the bookstores can order them.
Okay. Now, one more thing. What do you have? What message do you have for the young LGBT writers and readers out there? You know, what advice would you have for those young authors out there that and readers, you know, the fans of the LGBT novels such as yours?
I continue on writing our stories because they need to be told. You know, and everybody has a story. Now, that doesn't mean everybody need to write about it, but everybody has a story, and especially when it comes down to our stories. Thanks to Elin Harris and people like that, you know, he's crossed over into so-called the straight world when it comes to black female readers. You know, and thanks to him, I've also have gained a lot of heterosexual black females who enjoy reading my books.
All right, yo, ladies and gentlemen, who's who never going to let Mike Warren, thanks, man, for calling in. Make sure you go check out his book, The Cool and You Part 3, as well as the other books that he's written. KD,
yes,
real quick, man, before we shut it down,
uh-huh.
you know, tell us where they can follow you on social media, and,
right.
you know, a last word about those people who haven't read Backs Against the Wall yet.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook at KD McGregor. You can find me on Twitter at McGregor_KD, at Instagram, official KD McGregor _author, and also on Amazon. So if you need to find any of those books, you can find it on Amazon as well. And basically, like I said, if you haven't read the book already, you need to pick it up. It's a great read. It's definitely a page-turner, and I'm sure you'll read my next book. I'm supposed to be delivering my next title, Who Would Ever Guess, supposed to be scheduled for a June release. So be looking for that also.
Yeah, well, make sure you keep me up on that. And also, man, next time you go to a love and hip-hop event like that, man, you know, let me know, man, so I can slide in some of them pics of DJ Self and Rich Dallas and that whole crew, man.
yeah. DJ Self, I'm supposed to be calling him up sometime this week. We'll be chatting back and forth.
All right. So once again, everybody, who's soon after American Led Block Talk Radio Spotlight Friday night with yours truly, DJ Gaffrey. Yo, Mike, thanks, man. Thanks, my brother.
All right.
KD, thanks a lot for calling in, man. God bless both of y'all. Keep in touch. See you guys on social media. Y'all got my number. And everybody out there listening, make sure you support both of these brothers. Go check their books out. Buy, read, and review everything that they write. DJ Gatsby, Spotlight. Brothers, I'm going to say good night. And I'll see you on social
night.
Media.
All right, bro.
Peace.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
We gon' run.
Yeah, I had to stop talking
yeah.
that money.
We gon' run. We gon' run.
I inherit the earth.
I'm just tryna.
What up, though?
Run through the money. Run.
And it's not that I'm not humble.
I'm just tryna.
Hey, yo.
Run through the money. Run.
It's that this is my gift for life.
I'm trying to blow a check, trying to pull up on the phone,
get that money,
and make the niggas upset, so we
get that money, go,
run
young
through
money,
the
go.
I'm just trying to run through it, heard them niggas making threats, tell them come do it, all my niggas with the shit, even in a fist fight, bet them niggas still gon' bring a gun to it, yeah. I'm just trying to pull up in the van. Hit the block, make them upset. I ain't done yet. Girl, I'm on the cash route. Motherfuck love, young nigga trying to cash out.
money mission. Bitch, you looking for attention, trying to make a nigga kick it so I can blow your back out. I ain't with the bullshit, I'm trying to make some money. My niggas got kids and all of them babies hungry. I gotta feed them hitters, they the ones that come and get you just in case one of you pussy niggas wanna act funny.
Life is a Gambit by Joy Alon. Allegra Johnson, the main character of the story, is a young, vibrant entrepreneur with dreams of being successful. Dreams, from the outside, she seems to have all the things that she dreamed of, except true love. Her motto is the expression, "The best way to predict the future is to create it." As she paints the things that she wants in life, she learns that not everyone will see her big picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Can my vocals up a little bit more, please? Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more. Yeah.
I'm on the
yeah.
I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new belt. All my niggas put a work. I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new belt. All my niggas put a work. Used to be sleeping on itchy beds. Bad buzz in the motel. Name a bitch, give me head. 20 bitches in the hotel. On a Roman noodle diet. Tour life wasn't so well. All my niggas starting right. Marsh pitting on your toenails. Nails. Uncle T doing so well. First class from a hotel. T's first at 15. In a bed getting no mail. My daddy died and my cousin too. Then let him out of no cell. Provide jobs for my whole block. I cannot slow down. Nigga, I won't stop now. Motherfucker, this is my town. Take the block, make it hot now. 143rd with the drop down. Icy chain with the watch now. Third piece full of rocks now. Niggas squint when they watch now. Leveling up to the top now. I'm on a new level.
I'm on it, I'm on it.
I'm on a new level.
I'm on it, I'm on it.